much of a preacher, but I think I do have a word from the Lord. It's very simple, and I won't be long. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. And he came out as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that he enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the title of my message is The Father's Will.
Praise God.
Father's Will. Father, we ask you right now to speak to our hearts. Move us, Lord, by your Spirit, nothing else. We thank you right now for all that you have done. Fill this atmosphere with faith. Anoint my voice. Anoint the words, Lord God, that it may minister, that it may edify. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let's give God a praise offering right now. Turn to someone, give him a high five, and say, Father's will. Father's will. Amen. You may be seated. I think I was 19 years old. And I've told you some of this story probably many times, but I'm going to tell it again for those who don't know it. I was in church, but not in church. I was in church, but not in church. That whole year of 1975, somehow I had gotten off course. And I told you what happened. One day my father just said, hey, come, let's go for a drive. And I knew what he was going to say, and I really didn't want to hear it. I knew what he was going to say. So we went for a drive, and he parked the car, and he just started talking to me. And he said to me, started to tell me things over the course of the year that I had, decisions I had made. And somehow, I don't know how, I think it's just the miracle of God, I listened to my father. Somehow, God's grace and mercy extended to me, and I listened to my father. Wasn't what my flesh wanted to do or even to hear. But I said, Dad, I hear you. And we went home, went into the basement, and my mother and him came downstairs. They laid hands on me. And they prayed. The title of this message is The Father's Will. Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he went into the Garden of Gethsemane. And as he was withdrawn, verse 41, Luke 22, verse 41, from them stones cast, he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know, I've said before, there are three wills. There are three wills. There's my will, Satan's will, and there's God's will. There's three wills. I almost titled this message The Third Will. So the first will is fleshly. It's me. And it's my desires and what I want and what I want to achieve. I didn't want to be pastor. That was not my will. No. If it was my will, I'd have stayed here. I'd have stayed here in 1980. I left Milwaukee and I went somewhere else. But it wasn't God's will. It was God's will, I believe, for me to come back. And I listened to the Father. But my will and your will wants to do things that pleases this flesh. And it operates really through two. I'm really talking to you today, so you just, if you don't want to shout, that's fine. But I'm speaking some words today.
Okay?
The will, your will operates two ways. It operates on your flesh, and operates through your heart, your emotions. And both of those things try and control your mind. See, your mind operates on logic, and it knows what it should do. But the heart operates differently. I was repairing once an amplifier, very expensive piece of electronics gear that someone had asked me to fix. And I had taken off the cover, I had plugged it out, and I started to lift it up. And my finger touched one of the big capacitors that was on there, and because it was still charged, it had 25,000 volts still on there. And my finger touched it. It was unplugged, but it still had a very high charge. And immediately, my flesh said, drop it. You can't hold this. Drop it. My mind said, you can't drop it. It doesn't belong to you and it costs a lot of money. You drop it and it's finished. See, that's how it works. Your flesh tries to control your mind. And a lot of times that's what works. We listen to our heart and our flesh. Our mind knows better. My mind told me, you can't drop this. It was funny. It was like slow motion, you know. I was feeling this terrible shock and pain, and my fingers wanted to just drop this thing. But my mind was telling me, you can't drop this. It's not yours, and it's going to cost a lot of money, and you were given trust over this thing. You see, our will wants to do what is easy and what works for us. And it's driven through the survival mechanism a lot of times, the things that we react to. And it's powerful and it's real. And the only way we can control it is not actually through our mind, because in actuality I did end up dropping it. The flesh one. I dropped it. We cannot actually operate without God's help. There is no way we can make it in this world without God's help. Romans chapter 7 verse 18 says, for I know in me and in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing.
Nothing.
To will is prayer. My mind wanted to hold on to that thing. I knew I shouldn't drop it. But my flesh was telling me something else. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. It's really a continuation of Sunday school. See, we really know how to, what our mind wants, but our heart and our body sometimes tries to control our mind. And then, of course, there's Satan's will. And his will is very easy. It just comes in two categories. His will is he wants to be God. He wants to be God of you. He wants to be God of your life.
That's right.
And he wants you to worship him. In Isaiah chapter 14, verse 13, it is laid out what his plan is. He says, for thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's what he wants, to be God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like, he wants to be God. And he wants you to worship him. He wants to take your will and make it his. That's his plan. And if you won't bend to him, if you won't acquiesce, then his second plan, I'm going to destroy you.
All right. Okay, tell the truth.
That's his plan. He's got only two plans. Either you worship him, or he destroys you. Because that's the only way he can hurt God. To destroy his children. And one of these days, when we wake up and we see the plan, we can say, devil, you can't touch me. Amen. When we wake up to God's love and his mercy and his grace, amen, we'll understand that there are three wills involved in almost every decision. When you won't bend to his will, he'll try and kill you. You know, he tried to kill Jesus. I taught in Sunday school that in Luke chapter, I think it's 4, he came to tempt Jesus. And when he failed, when he would not bend to his will, then he was bent on destruction. Right? In Luke chapter 4, verse 28, Just a little bit after, and actually in the same chapter after Jesus had rejected him, you see plan two.
That's right.
And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow hill whereon the city was built, that they might what? Cast him down headlong. That's what the devil's plan for your life is. If you will bend to him, if you decide you're going to not serve him, he'll try and cast you down headlong. He'll try and destroy every bit of your life. But as I said in Sunday school, he had dominion. If you missed the Sunday school, go listen to it. He had dominion. He just disappeared. He had power over his flesh. But he passing through the midst of them went his way. I tell you, when you won't bow to Satan, his number two plan is always destruction. The three Hebrew boys, when they would not bow down to the idol, when they would not worship the image, Satan's plan was destruction. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 19, it says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. I really think it was the devil that was full of fury. And the form of his visage changed. He got so angry, he probably turned bright red. Against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, therefore he spake, and he commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more. Seven times more. And the people who tried to throw them in is the ones that got killed.
Praise God.
Then Nebuchadnezzar the king, verse 24, was astonished. You see, when you stand up to the devil, as Jesus did, he will try and kill you, but you will not suffer hurt. When you truly stand up, Jesus said in John chapter, I think 17, I have lost none of them. I have lost, you can't be lost in Christ by the devil killing you, because he can't take you out of his power. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true. Wait a minute, but I see four. How can that be? See, the devil will try and destroy you. The devil will try and wreck you. But when you won't bow to him, when you won't worship his idol, when you won't go in his way, the sun will show up beside you. I'm telling you. I see four men in the fire. Now notice I've said, I was, before I preached this message, I was looking at some of my older messages. And one of them, I almost was good, it was called The Way Out. And sometimes the way out is the way through. Sometimes God won't deliver you from the fire. He delivers you in the fire. See, sometimes we're going to have to go in our little garden like Jesus and say, Lord, yes, I don't want to drink this cup. No, it's not what I want. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, Satan's will is destruction. His will is chaos. He does not love you. He loves himself. His will is to corrupt yours by deception. Yeah. Hath God said? Isn't that what he said to Eve? Hath God said? No, you won't die. Okay. It's okay.
Okay, tell the truth.
It's just a little bit.
Okay.
It's not much.
Okay.
His will is to corrupt your will because he wants you to worship him. He wants you to bow down and worship. And if you won't, he will try and destroy you. That's why the Bible says, in this life we shall have what? Tribulation. See, if you're swimming against the stream, you have to swim. It's easy to float down to go where everyone else is going. It's easy to agree with the adversary. But in this case, we are not allowed to agree with the adversary. No, we have to understand he wants your will. He wants you to bow down. And if you won't, he'll try and throw you in the fire. But you know what? Nebuchadnezzar saw four. And one of them looks like the Son of God. He will never leave you nor forsake you. See, Satan's will is trying to influence us all the time. And the best way to influence is to manipulate.
That's right, Pastor.
That's the best way. I once was talking to a boss and I said, you know, the best bosses I've had are ones that are manipulating me, but I'm enjoying it. I'll have to explain. You know they're trying to manipulate you, but they do it in such a suave manner that you have to smile and just go, wow, that was slick, that was smooth. I don't know about you, I've had a few bosses like that. They want you to do something, they don't tell you directly, but they just go around the edges and you see it and you go, man, that was pretty slick. Almost fell for that. I had a friend I was working with, many years ago, and we had worked 16-hour days for like 10 days straight. We had one more day left, and there was a couple things left to be finished that weren't important, but nevertheless should have been done. And it was like, you know, a Sunday night, and it was 10 o'clock, and we worked 16 hours, and I wanted to go home. So I said, all right, that's it, I'm going home. So then he said, well, that's okay, you go. I'll finish it. I'll do your part, just you go. I was so mad. I was so, because he knew I wasn't going to go once he said that. He knew that my pride would not let me go. See how Satan can use your will to get his will. But truly, in the end, if you stand up to him, he'll try and destroy you. That's what his game is about. The Bible says he is the father of lies. And his words sound so good, so slick, so sweet. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are. I said in Sunday school, our title this month is about restoration. And this last one was about restoring dominion. And I showed how Satan had taken away our dominion. And how only through a transplant, only through the blood of Christ, can we get back that dominion. And the reason why we lost dominion is the Bible tells it here in Romans 6:16. Knowing not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey. I remember being in school, and the teacher brought all of us up. We had, I forgot exactly what we did. And of course, we always, the excuse is, well, he did it.
Yeah, that's right.
He did it. And the teacher would say, you always do what he says? You've heard it, and so if he sticks his head in an oven, you're going to do that too? I don't know if you've heard that phrase before. So if he jumps off a cliff, you're going to jump off too? That's what the teacher would say. Because we always say, well, he did. I was only following him. The worst accident I had at school was following somebody. They jumped in the bush. I jumped in the bush, except the bush had a stake sticking up that I couldn't see. And when I jumped in the bush, it went straight through my shin, my calf, staked me. That was the worst mistake, following into the bush. See, Satan leads us to destruction. In fact, his very name in Revelation is the angel of destruction, Abaddon, Apollyon. Knowing not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants, to be his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. So we have our will, what we want. We have God's, we have Satan's will, what he wants, and then the third will is God's will. I said this is going to be really short. But God's will is perfect. At times we can't see it. It makes no sense to us. In fact, it seems contrary to even common sense. Any of you who are parents here, you will understand that there are times you have to tell your kids no. And they don't understand. Why can't I go outside and play at 10 o'clock at night? There's no harm. Why can't I have this sharp, pointy thing? There's no harm. But you understand that you cannot always let them have what they want. And the Father's will is based upon judgment. It's based upon experience. It's based upon love. My Father loved me so much, he wasn't willing to give up on me. He wasn't willing to give up on me. And that love, God used him to speak to me somehow at the age of 19 to rescue me from a mess. Now, the restoration, as I've been teaching, was not easy. There was 6 months of sheer terror. Because I had got myself into something. But you know, I learned that if you don't bow, and he can't destroy you, then he'll do like what he did to Jesus. He left him for a season. And angels came and ministered. The angel that came and ministered was my wife.
Amen.
Two years after that, we got married.
Amen.
But it only happened because somehow Despite what I wanted to do, I listened to the Father. I listened to the Father. It wasn't even something that I was consciously wanting to do. Everything he said, I was already rejecting. I was already rejecting. Somehow, I listened and I put God first. I said, okay, I see what you're saying. My eyes started to open. I started to understand. I started to see that the things I had done wasn't really me. It wasn't really me. That's what Paul says in Romans. He said, the things that I do, I would that I did not do. But I see another law working in my flesh. Bringing me into captivity. Sin shall not handle me. Sin shall not handle me. I'm going to follow the third will. That's the Father's will. See, let me tell you about God's will. 1 Timothy 2:3. For this is the good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be. It's God's will that we be saved, that we come back into reconciliation, that we have relationship with him, that he fulfills all of his plans, all of his gifting, all of his promises, all of his pledges in our life. That's what God wants. The Father always wants the best. When you're young, you can't see that. You think they're just being mean and horrible to you and won't give you the car. Then when you do get the car, you crash it. That's what happened to me. When you're a teenager, you think you know it all. I told you the time when I crashed and I had to park it around the corner to go face the Father. I didn't want him to see it till I had kind of explained a few things. God's will for us is, verse 4, who will have all men to be. That's the Father's will. He doesn't want the hurt and pain and suffering that this world is. That was never his will. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live. That's his will, that we should live unto righteousness. That's his will. That's what he wants. But we have to listen. We have to listen. By whose stripes he were healed. He wants us whole. He wants us healthy. He wants us well. It's not his will for sickness. But because God wants it doesn't mean it happens. Because there are three wills. You get it? You have to choose which one you're going to line up behind. You have a choice. We have a choice. God had mercy upon me sometime in the summer of 1975. I completely changed the direction of my life. I would not be here. I'm absolutely certain of it. Just one conversation. Somehow I listened. Somehow God had mercy. Somehow I listened. The Father's will is always best. It's always best. Shall I tell you something? It's God's will that we hear and that we see the little traps of the devil.
That's right.
Jesus, when he was alive, he talked in parables. And his disciples couldn't understand. They couldn't see what he was saying. But when they were alone, he made it plain that it was for them as his disciples to both see and hear. Matthew 12:13. But blessed are your eyes. Blessed are your eyes. For they hear and they see. God wants us not to be deceived. It's the world that will be deceived. The Bible says the God of this world has done what? Blinded the eyes. Why? So that the glorious gospel, this truth, they can't see it. They can't see it. But that's not what God's will, the Father's will for us in here today, is that we see clearly what his will for us is. That we're not deceived, that we can see a clear path. That's his will. He told his disciples, listen, but blessed are your eyes. Because you know what? He started to explain everything to them. He started to show them. So he said, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. That's the Father's will, that we be not deceived, that we both hear and that we see clearly. Should I tell you what else the Father's will is? That we prosper. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Well, you're going to say to me, well, none of that's happening for me. Why is all that happening? If it's the Father's will, I preached a message some time ago when I said love is not enough. God's love is not enough unless you're willing to hold on to the end of it. God can love you as much as He wants unless you are willing to make a choice to align your will with His will. If you don't, then Satan wins. That's what he wants, to bring destruction. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. You see, God's promises to people are conditional. Some of God's promises to nations are unconditional, but promises to people, for the most part, it depends on what we do. We have a choice. I had a choice that day, 45-something years ago. I had a choice, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it because God had mercy upon me. Somehow, He had mercy upon me. You see, we have our will, we have what Satan wants to do with you, and we have God's will. And it's so important that we understand that salvation can only come through obeying God's will. It's His will that we renew our first love. Revelation 2:4, to the first church that he spoke about of the 7 churches in Ephesus. Nevertheless, that word is in both the garden prayer and this prayer. And this word from God, it says, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Whenever we start to put our will above God's will or Satan's will, that nevertheless applies to us. Because thou hast left thy first love. This is God's will. Remember, therefore. Remember. You know what my father did? He started to paint me a picture. Started to bring back things to my mind. He brought back things and said, you know, this. Did you see? Can you see that picture? Do you see how that worked? Somehow, God used him to speak to me. I remembered some things. It brought back memory. It brought back what God had told me. It says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, repent and do the first works. That's what God wants us to do. That's His will. I'm talking about the Father's will. The Father's will. Now, here's something that I'm going to say that may not be so clear. I'll tell you something else about the Father's will. Matthew 7:21. I want to show you that of the three wills, there's only one will that will save us. There is no other way. Here's what he says in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will. What I'm trying to say, there is not salvation. You cannot be saved unless you're willing to submit. Islam means submission, but truly it is us that need to submit. We should be the ones to submit to God's will in every way. The Bible tells us very clearly here, but you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is the only key. I've told this story, and you know the story of the rich young ruler who came to Jesus. And he said, how can I join? How can I be, you know, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus asked him all these questions. He said, I've all done all of this. The Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus loved him. But in the end, it was not enough. That's amazing how Jesus could love someone. We don't even know his name. Because Jesus asked him one more thing. One thing thou lackest. Just one thing he had to do to completely fulfill the Father's will. The Bible said he left sorrowful. He left sorrowful. And so we don't even know his name. He could have been some great apostle. God, I'm sure, had some great plan for his life. But we never even know his name. Even though the Bible says Jesus looked on him and was sorrowful. But you know, the disciples started to question Jesus. And Jesus then said, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for some people to be saved. You know what the disciples said? Well, then it's impossible. Jesus said, hold up. It's not all done yet. With man, this is impossible. Some of the things that God wants us to do, it's impossible for us to give it up or to do it or to. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Oh no, he didn't want to do that. You know, with man, it's impossible. It is impossible because I didn't want to do it. But Jesus gave a revelation to his disciples. He said, yes, this is true. It's impossible. But with God, let's say it together, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. With man, it's not possible. Our will wants to do it. I let that thing go when it shocked me, even though my brain was telling me you can't let it go. But with God, all things are possible. That means that God can save to the uttermost. To the uttermost. There's no limit on his love or his power to save, to bring back, to heal, to close up. There is no limit on his power. Last week I told the story about Manasseh, who was the worst ever, and how I believe it was him being in prison and repenting that God sent Jonah to the city of Nineveh. You know, as I said, I liken them to modern day ISIS, you know. Who would want to be told, okay, go preach to ISIS? That's what God told Jonah. Go preach to ISIS. They were the ISIS of his day. Because there were still 120,000 people in that city that didn't know their left from their right. They were innocent. So how, with all of this, can we submit? How do we get to the point of submitting to the Father's will? How is it possible? I said, with man, it's not possible. But I've said for many years now, the greatest thing that we can say is not, I love you. It's not, I love you. Because Jesus loves us. But that alone won't save us. No, that's not the greatest thing that we can say is, I love you. The greatest thing that can be said by a human being is, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because love, no matter how strong, needs someone holding on to the chain. If you hold on, it can pull you out. But no matter how strong the chain, if no one is holding on, you can't push a chain. You can only pull a chain. You have to be holding on. So although Jesus loved this young man, he went away lost. It wasn't the lack of God's love that is going to do this world. It will be choices. It will be because when it comes to the cross, some of us will not be willing to say, nevertheless, not my will. If you could stand with me. Now, I want to point out something here. Jesus himself in his flesh did not want to do this. I'm not saying the Father's will is always easy. Jesus prayed this, if thou be willing, remove this cup. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to be mocked. I don't want to be stripped. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to be whipped to death. I don't want to have nails in my hand. Most of all, I don't want to have the feeling of sin applied to my life. Because I don't think it was any of those things that Jesus was afraid of. It was the fact that at some point on the cross, he who knew no sin, because he said, nevertheless, not my will, was going to have to take every single sin that was past, present, and future of every single human being. That's what I really believe he did not want to feel like. He had to come to the point of feeling completely forsaken. Yet he was willing to say, wow, nevertheless. Nevertheless. When we have come to that point,
yes, Lord,
when we can truly say and mean it, Nevertheless, that's the point when we will have achieved power with God. That's the point when we will truly have achieved power with God. Lots of people can say, I love you. And maybe they do. But love needs someone on the other end. But when you can say, nevertheless, not my will. Jesus said, I didn't come to do my will. I can only do what the Father tells me to do. That's why I came. I never do anything except what the Father does. You want dominion, you want power, you want miracles, you want all this other stuff? Have you said nevertheless? If you want the fullness of the relationship, you need the fullness of the commitment. Sometimes the Father's will involves bearing a cross. In fact, I changed that, strike that. If any man want to be my disciple, he must deny himself, pick up his own cross, and follow me. We have a choice. We can be like the rich young ruler and boast to Jesus how much we've done and how much we are pure and how much we are perfect. But until we are willing to completely submit, completely, utterly, nothing left. To the degree that we submit to God is the degree that we will have power and dominion and miracles and all the other stuff. God is asking us, when you come to your Garden of Gethsemane, how will you pray? Are you going to say, like Satan, me, 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 I will ascend, I will be like the Most High, make me God, God, give me everything I want? Or are we going to humble ourselves? No one in here is perfect. I'm the least perfect. If I could run away, I would. But the scripture always comes back to me and says, the hireling fleeth. Hireling fleeth. I'm not a hireling. I'm not doing this for money at all. The hireling fleeth. But I want to submit more. I want to, you know, Paul at the end of his life said, it's not as if I have attained. The great apostle Paul said, it's not as if I, Paul, have attained, but I press. And I'm challenging you all here today. Are you going to press? We may not yet reach the perfection of being like Jesus and being able to completely, but he says, I press on. I'm not going to give up. I'm going forward to the mark of the high calling which is in Christ. It's great that we say we love you, God. But I tell you, there is a greater that we can say, nevertheless. The greatest thing that Jesus ever said was when he said, nevertheless. He told Peter, listen. I could call 12 legions of angels. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this. I can call 12 legions of angels. But nevertheless, I'm going to do more than love you, Lord. I'm going to show you. The Father's will. See, we love to quote Jeremiah. I know the plans I have for you, the thoughts I have for you, and all. Yes, that's all true. But there's something for us to do for that to be fulfilled in our lives. We're going to have to listen to the Father's will. And whenever we do, whenever to the extent that we do, it will be to the extent that we receive dominion. Remember what Jesus said? You draw near to me, I draw near to you. You draw near to me, I draw somewhere near to you. He's like these companies, he does matching funds. If you draw near enough so you can touch him, maybe you might get delivered. Maybe like the woman with the issue of blood, if you press your way through and say, I've got to touch him. I've got to reach him today. I can't live it without God in my life. When you're ready to say nevertheless, don't blame God for a lack of miracles, lack of action in your life. Don't blame God for that. He's not gone anywhere. He's still there. He's waiting for us to truly, truly say, whatever you want, God. Whatever you say, God. I'm closing. These altars are open. Maybe not a shouting message, but this is what God gave me last night to say. He loves when you say you love him. But he wants more than that. He wants us to get to the point where we say, nevertheless. Nevertheless. And when we say that, truly, when we say that and when we mean it, do you know we've just disarmed Satan completely? He will have no weapon against none. Jesus said, he's coming, but he has nothing in me. Nothing. He can't even grab hold of me just like trying to grab air. Why? Because we have given it all. All our will, all our desires, all our emotions, all our direction. We're closing this service. But I hope this week you meditate upon that word, the Father's will. We have choices. And the only way we will be saved, Matthew 7:21, not me, but he that doeth the will of my Father. It's not about saying, I love you, Lord, Lord, I love you. Because he said, many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, we have done all this stuff, we love you. But they haven't actually done the will, which is the only way of salvation. I'm closing this service. But I believe this word is from the Lord today. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. God wants this church to be on fire. He wants it to have direction. He wants healing. He wants deliverance. And it's for us to draw near. When we have made that commitment, all the things we've been asking God for will be fulfilled. But not until we have drawn near to him. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for those at the altar. If you want to pray, I have no special magic, but I know someone that is. If you will commit today, God will do miracles. He has promised. He has promised. And I tell you what, he has never failed. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you right now as we close this service, Lord. Oh God, that you will imprint this on our hearts. More than saying we love you, Lord, that we will say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, for everyone who is going through some things right now, who is facing a cross, Lord God. Lord, I know that there are cups that we must drink. Father, we ask right now for your anointing power as we close this service, as I pray for those at the altar. Lord, that there will be breakthrough, that the power of the enemy will be defeated. Hallelujah, as we submit totally and utterly to you, and we call your name, hallelujah, over everyone that's here today, Lord God. Hallelujah, that your dominion, your will, hallelujah, will be done. As you taught your disciples to pray, hallelujah, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Right now, Jesus, we ask, oh God, for your will.